Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Well, I'm gonna have to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
That is right. You know what that music sets up. It's that time of week. We normally do this on Friday, but it's Damon's birthday tomorrow, so we're all taking off to celebrate Damon's birthday. He's on his way to Tennessee, which, by the way, Dr. Odell spends a lot of time in Tennessee, and of course, that's
sure
who.
Do.
Yep, absolutely.
And I saw more rain in Tennessee Monday and Tuesday, and I've seen it in Las Vegas in 25 years.
Yeah, what's up with that, Dr. Odell? When I moved here, I was told, hey, there will be monsoon season, and it's going to be. I haven't seen any of that. What's going on,
Vinny? I don't know, but I could be a weatherman here.
I know, right? Exactly.
one of the anchors said that once. It was hilarious. Well, this is the same every day. Occasionally there's problems, but man, my wife told me Tuesday morning that there was the Weather Channel featured Johnson City, the Tri-Cities area, and Atlanta. Well, guess where I had to fly from?
Oh,
Tri-Cities to Atlanta to here. I didn't figure I'd get home until this afternoon.
Oh boy! Well, and we're talking to Dr. Robert Odell from the Las Vegas Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. But you bring up a good point, Dr. Odell, because I do a lot of traveling as well, and you go to certain cities, and the weather person is sometimes the star of the whole newscast because it's important. Like I remember one time being in Oklahoma City where, like, there was a tornado coming or some big huge storm coming, and I was like, okay, whatever. I hear that.
Yeah, they save lives. Yes,
Doubt about it. No doubt about it. And for people who work outdoors, farmers, people, it's important stuff. You have to know, when all that is coming. But I
recommend the Weather Channel. There's some great stuff on there. The good weather facts. It's kind of interesting. I stopped watching the news after the election. I won't go into that. But
yes,
it's awesome. The Weather Channel is really cool. It talks about what a derecho is, and anyway, it's fantastic. I also got to tell you, Tuesday night I got to play junior emergency physician. I was in first class, and there was a kid had an allergic reaction.
Oh,
so
boy.
I jumped up and I ran back. I almost got taken out by that netting between first class and the other classes. I made it back there. I said, "Geez, I hope somebody has some epinephrine." Well, the kid was okay. You know, he wasn't an extremist at all. He looked a little off, and I stayed there for 15, 20 minutes, reassured everybody, but scared the hell out of me. But I got to tell you, Delta has the most amazing medical packs there. Medical professionals have to open them, but they have epinephrine, they have all kinds of good stuff. And of course, I know how to use that stuff, but it was kind of scary. But you know, it's why we're there. You know?
Yeah, Johnny on the spot, obviously, Dr. Robert Odell, and thankfully for being in the right place at the right time to save the day.
One time I was on a Southwest flight, and Lily was hypotensive, low blood pressure, like 80, and somebody else was watching her airway, and she was breathing everything, so I started an IV on her, and I was standing there in the exit row, which is Southwest first class, and I, being facetious, and I sat there with this IV, and I was squeezing it. And I looked everybody around me and I said, yeah, in my other life, I'm an IV pole. So that everybody kind of laughed. I had to decide if the plane was diverted. Fortunately, her pressure came up to 100, so we didn't have to do that. And I felt comfortable. But think of the responsibility if I'd have been wrong.
Oh, boy. Well, that wasn't going to happen.
Born. There was a 29-week-old baby born on a flight to Hawaii, 3 hours, and there were three NICU nurses yesterday it happened, and as one of my patients told me today, she's an OBGYN nurse at UMC, or was, mm-hmm. nurse practitioner now, and she, I guess they kept the baby alive, and my God.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I read that story. There's some interesting tidbits to that story about on that flight to Hawaii. So if you haven't read this,
nurses, you know, neonatal ICU nurses, you know, man,
right?
29 weeks. You know, they always intubate them, put a tube down for the first few days, even if they don't get
right
distress syndrome. But oh my God, what a miracle!
Absolutely. And by the way, if you ever, when you are watching the Weather Channel, don't be surprised. I'm not sure if you're a baseball fan, but Mike Trout from the Angels in Anaheim.
I know.
He's a huge weather person. Like, literally, he chases hurricanes and tornadoes and things like that. He'll go to the heart, like, during the off season and report on crazy weather.
Really?
He loves it. He breaks it down. I know we're kind of going off on a tangent here, but it's actually pretty funny and interesting. Like, he knows his stuff. It's just a hobby of his and a fascination of his. So whenever there's crazy weather somewhere, he'll talk your ear off about it, explaining it. So
I have a Mike Trout hat. It's my favorite hat.
There you
go. My wife and her parents grew up in the shadow of Anaheim Stadium, so I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Angels fan.
There you go. And he is the best player in baseball, and arguably
is. I know. It's a shame.
Right?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. All right.
I think, Vinny, if I'm wrong, tell me, but if there's a dominant player in basketball, that can make a big difference. You know, baseball, I think football may be second, like a quarterback or something like that. But baseball, it's kind of diluted a little bit. It really has to be a team. You're only up every nine batters, you know?
And he's the perfect example because there's nobody, it's not even close how much better he is compared to everybody else, all the other better players. Like, he's decidedly better than a next best player who's really, really good himself. And it's not gotten him anything, to be honest with you, because the team around him hasn't been good enough. So you're absolutely right. He can only do what he can do, and it's, what, 4 at-bats per game? And
yeah.
Not enough to be able to overcome pitching, you know, issues. And then if you're not good in the 8 other batters or not strong enough with the 8 other batters, you know, you're gonna lose a bunch of games in spite of the fact that you have the best player. I would just love to see him. I know you're an Angels fan, and obviously I cover the Angels and the Dodgers.
Let's go down to a game sometime.
All right, absolutely. I wish every once in a while he played on, you know, one of the premier teams to get a chance to go. Only
except the Yankees.
Yes, exactly.
No way, dude.
Exactly. He grew up in New Jersey. He was a huge Met fan and they didn't draft him insanely. So neither did the Yankees, I don't think. I think the Yankees could have drafted him too.
Oh, but he didn't go first or anything?
No. He was, for some reason, you know, I want to say he was in the 20s or somewhere around there, you know, coming out of high school. So the Angels scooped him up.
He didn't go to college?
Nope. Straight to the pro, you know, to the minor leagues from high school. So, and the rest is history. The rest is absolutely history. All right. So we're talking about Mike Trout and
weather
and any other professional athlete, any kind of an athlete. There's always going to be, and human beings too, issues with the knees. And that's what we wanted to talk about, the knees. And obviously it's hugely important to what we do and walking and supporting us and when you want to be athletic. But there's issues with the knees. And I wanted you to talk about what you guys are able to do at the Neuropathy and Pain Center when people start feeling the effects of life, you know, in the knee specifically.
Well, I would really like everybody listening, if their parents or grandparents, to hear me out. And also, you know, if you have a pain doctor in your area, you know, away from my clinic, please feel free to go to the doc if they do the same stuff I do. But there is no reason to have a total knee replacement, in my opinion. Total hip, it's different. It's a very benign operation. The hip hurts way more before and way less after. My sister was hiking after both of her total hips. Total knees, however, have a real problem. They have about a 20 plus percent. I saw a couple people today with total knee replacements that still hurt. And we actually can help them too. But there is no reason now to have a total knee replacement, in my opinion, unless there's major trauma or something, you know. And the reason is because we can do about three things to interrupt the nerve pathways. The first thing we can do is put some visco supplementation in there, which is the rooster comb stuff that you've heard of. It's the gooey stuff that's in your knee that can help early stages of osteoarthritis. Medicare allows you to give amniotic fluid called Flower Flow, you can do that, although they're going to determine on May 18th if they're going to keep that program going. That actually regenerates the knee, and we usually do that after we give a couple of doses of Hymovis or the visco supplementation. Now, if that fails, you can also, there's nerves to the knees called the genicular nerves. There's four nerves, but usually the nerves that innervate the knee joint, the joint that's going to give you pain, I mean, the nerves that are going to carry the pain signals, they can be blocked. And in many cases, there's a dominant one. We can block those, and if that nerve can be blocked successfully, we can actually do two things. We can burn the nerve with a radio frequency, which I've done many times successfully, even for people with total knees. And the second thing is we can put in a peripheral nerve stimulator. That's a tiny little worm-looking thing I can put it in, even though I'm not a surgeon. You know, like a little, you know, 1 centimeter incision, and you put it in, and then you have a wearable transmitter that will help you. Will not only give the power, but also the signal to block these pain signals. So there are several really, really good options for knee pain. Number one being the PRP or amniotic fluid from the placenta. Number two being burning the genicular nerves, and number three being something called StimWave. It's a peripheral nerve stimulator. I have not put one in the knee yet, although I'm slated to put about five or six in Tennessee in a couple of weeks. But the rep here is terrific, and we put five or six trials, which have all been successful, and three or four permanents in different parts of the body, and it's been life-saving. I mean, it really is amazing. And it's not a spinal cord stimulator. It's not in your spine, although those work well too. It's not as scary for patients because it's peripheral. And of course, a lot of this stuff I'm saying is technical jargon, but you know, I'm happy to talk to anybody on the phone or see them at the office or whatever if they need more information, because the word doctor means to teach. And my most, even though I love to do procedures, you know, I live for that, the most important thing is doing these procedures for the right reasons, teaching the patient, telling them what their options are. And that's also, that's probably one of the most important part of our jobs.
Which is why I urge everybody listening to give the doctor a call over at the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas at 702-257-7246. We say this all the time. Go ahead.
Really, what everybody really needs to remember, there are so many people that have knee osteoarthritis in this town that even if you're on the other side of town, you want me to direct you to somebody that is like-minded with me, I'd be happy to look it up and do that, because I feel so strongly about knee pain, because there just is no need to have a total knee replacement, at least with the information I have available right now. And these things hurt afterwards.
Yeah, they really do. Absolutely. And then, like I said, give the doctor a call, 702-257-7246. You don't have to deal with pain just because you're getting older. Dr. Odell and the staff at the Neuropathy and Pain Center in Las Vegas will explain that to you. You don't have to be John Wayne. You don't have to grit your teeth and bear with it just because you're getting old. And furthermore, you don't have to, you know, like the doctor said, if you don't need a full knee replacement, there's other alternatives to that. And I have to ask you, Dr. Odell, you know, I don't want to get you, you know, on the bad side of other doctors and whatnot, but is there a reason why sometimes And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but is there a reason why when it's not really needed, it's being pushed?
Well, you know, the doctor has to make his Mercedes payment, you know, I don't know. I mean, most orthopedic surgeons I know are terrific, and Mark Sylvain is the best hip doctor I've ever met. He did both of my sister's total hips, did beautifully. She was hiking 2 weeks later. But give you an example. People who have knee pain, a lot of times they put steroids and local anesthetic in. That actually, those two substances are actually toxic to the joint. And I suspect 5 years from now, the go-to will be PRP or stem cells or something like that, and the insurance companies will cover it because they're going to have to. And I'm not going to do steroids or local anesthetic in a knee anymore. I'm just not, or any joint. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to go to PRP if the patient can pay for it. Fortunately, that's cash. Or the Flower Flow if they have Medicare. Because I feel very strongly I'm going to be associating with a world-class regenerative medicine doctor named George Cheng Qian. He's going to be coming over here 3 or 4 days a month. He's written over 120 papers in this field, and he's just terrific. Plus, he's a character. But he's taught me the anatomy of the shoulder and the knee like nobody else using the ultrasound. With the ultrasound device that we have, we can see so many things, and we can actually show them to the patient. I'm just excited about it because the stuff we can do now that we just couldn't do several years ago that can help people with minimally invasive procedures. I have a medical legal case right now where they jumped to spine surgery in the neck, and they might have just been able to get away with treating the facets of 3 orders of magnitude safer procedure. I don't want to give any more details of that. It wouldn't be ethical, but you know, you always got to try to do the most, the least invasive option, you know, for a variety of reasons, safety and cost and the patient well-being before you go on to the more advanced and more invasive procedures.
Dr. O'Dell, I know that, you know, sometimes, you know, patients come to you with a pain level of 7 or 8, and so I'm sure it ranges. But let's talk specifically about the knee. At what level should somebody say, you know what, it's time for me to go get it looked at by Dr. O'Dell? Give him a call at 702-257-7246. What level of pain should we be talking about to say it's time to go get this checked out and see if there's some alternatives? So A, I could get some relief, and B, it doesn't get even worse.
I can't give you a pain score because everybody's pain score is different.
Got it.
Whenever they think they should, whenever it bothers them, they should go.
Right.
Whenever it bothers them, they should go. I have a shoulder problem, and Dr. Cheng Qian did an ultrasound of it. It's kind of a mess. I got cross body block skiing and got a non-displaced fracture of the humerus, the ball bone, mm-hmm. and I didn't rehab it properly. And a couple months ago, it started hurting like heck. All kinds of stuff going down my arm. Such that now patients give all these weird symptoms, I believe them. But anyway, I have some issue going on there, and I'm left-handed. Well, I'm ambidextrous. It's my dominant hand, and I'm just putting up with it right now, but I got to do something about it. You know, I mean, I can't examine it myself. I kind of know what it is, but because I know the drill, it's a little different, but at such time as it starts to get worse, I'm going to see somebody, and hey, we got to do something about this. Right now, I can put up with it. But for the layman, I don't have to walk on my shoulder. You have to walk on your knees, and that's the problem. And the other thing that's really important is I don't want anybody to have knee pain with knees giving out and things like that with a risk of falling because you could break a hip for no reason. That's a huge issue. Medicare used to, and I don't know if they still do, pay for balance training. And it's so important because did you know that there's 1 chance in 3 of a person over 65 falling in 1 year?
There's no doubt about that, and
yeah.
And
I've already fallen once this year, so you know.
Yeah, and we all know people, you know, older people in our lives, throughout our lives. Where I mean, I've, you know, to be perfectly frank, I had a great aunt who passed away after falling and hitting her head. Chick Hearn.
Vinny. A lot of people don't know this, but the mortality rate after a total hip pinning is 20% in the first year. And I actually, unfortunately, had a patient die on me on the table many years ago here in Las Vegas in the early in the middle 90s. That's more dramatic, but it's not. I mean, I've done anesthesia for tons of hip pinnings, and the patients do great. But man, the best medicine is prevention. If you think you need a cane, get one. If you think you need a walker, get one. There's no stigma at all.
No, absolutely right about that. And I was going to mention Chick Hearn, the great Laker announcer or play-by-play guy, getting gas in Sherman Oaks, I think it was, and he fell. And we lost Chick Hearn because of that. So it happens.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you're starting to feel pain, if you're starting to feel discomfort at whatever age, it's time, just get it looked at. You don't have to, again, grit your teeth through it and think that it's just the natural progression of things. It is the natural progression of things, but it doesn't mean you have to deal with it. There's alternatives and there's
medicine. You don't have to come to me, you know. If your pain doctor knows what he's doing, maybe they offer some of these things, though I think we do offer some stuff that procedures a lot of people don't. But there's so many people out there. I mean, I've had people come to me with neck pain who said, I didn't know you could fix this.
Right.
Neck pain with radio frequency is one of the most rewarding things that we do.
I think I owe
one or two failures, for some complex reasons. I've never had a failure in the thoracic spine. Which is kind of rare. The low back's a little more complicated because there's more going on down there. But it's just a wonderful procedure, and that radio frequency burning is something that's done outside the spine. It's not inside the spine. So,
well,
it's very common. It's because it's arthritis of the facet joints, basically.
Right. Well, that's why we love to have Dr. Odell come on each week to talk about things that we all deal with. And if we're not dealing with it personally, we know somebody who is, and that's just the reality of life. So, again, give the doctor a call, 702-257-7246, the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. They'll get you right, whatever the pain is that you're dealing with. And if they can't help you, the doctor, as he's expressed many times on this show, he's an honest enough and good enough person that he's going to point you in the direction if they can't
care
of you. So
absolutely.
Never, ever worry about that. Dr. Odell, the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas, 702-257-7246. Thanks for spending some time with us in the huddle this week, Dr. Odell. We will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Okay, Vinny. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You got it. That's Dr. Robert Odell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center. We always love having him on because he teaches and he has solutions. Give them a call, 702-257-7246. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
I think there's some guys on our team that are, you know, if they're still around, you know, they're going to have to learn how to sacrifice some things because if we want to go where we want to go, you have to be able to sustain it.
That was Raiders quarterback Derek Carr talking January 3rd, I believe that was, in Denver. The Raiders close out their season with a win over the Denver Broncos. Obviously, we know that this season didn't end well for the Raiders. They were 6-3 at one point, looking at the possible playoff run. It didn't come to fruition. You know, and Derek Carr, the question was asked of him, you know, what's it going to take, basically, to finish seasons strong. They haven't been able to finish these last two seasons strong. Earlier in the show, talking about, I think in 2019, it was more of a talent issue. I just didn't feel like watching that Raiders team, they were there yet by any stretch of the imagination. They didn't, you know, it was Darren Waller was on offense. You know, Josh Jacobs was there on offense. Derek Carr was on offense. But there wasn't, you know, it just the offense, they averaged 19 points a game that year. That tells you what you needed to know. And then certainly not on defense. It was a lot of interchange, you know, players coming and going. There were injuries. They just weren't good enough defensively. That was not a team that I felt like when I got to Oakland in November of 2019 and I really started looking into this team and watching this team, it was like, okay, there's some holes that this team needs to fix. And even last year, it got better. I thought the personnel got better on defense. I think there were some things that conspired against that defense. It was very, very young. There wasn't an off season. There were a lot of injuries. I think the coaching wasn't up to par. But I thought they addressed some issues on the roster, and I think they've done that again this year. But as Derek Carr talked about, first and foremost, or part of the equation is going to have to be the Raiders figuring out better ways to finish. And that means, like he just talked about, you know, sacrificing, being able to push aside things that, you know, the fun things that we all like to do in order to get better sleep, in order to eat right, in order to maintain your body better, so that come December, you're in a much better position to deliver physically. And, you know, that's been an issue. Part of it wasn't just talent these last couple of years, although that was a big part of it. It wasn't just youth. It was players not being able to be out on the field. And there's a variety of reasons why. Sometimes it's just bad luck. Injuries happen, all right? But there's a reason why a guy like Derek Carr has been able to play game in and game out, play in and play out, and why he was able to come back last year from a leg injury that, you know, maybe somebody else wouldn't have been out there. Maybe it wouldn't have been as important to somebody else that it was to Derek Carr. There's a reason why Derek Carr is able to play as, you know, as much as he does, is because he takes care of himself. And he does the right thing, and he does sacrifice things in order for him to be able to put himself in a better position to finish. And, you know, here's Derek Carr kind of expounding on that and the importance of finishing and making that a team-wide, year-long motto and logo and something that they need to think about 24/7. Here's Derek Carr.
But we have not finished strong. And so I can almost guarantee you from here on out, you know, you're going to hear me talk about, you know, we got to finish, and Coach Gruden's going to put it up in the facility, finish. We're going to finish practice. We're going to finish everything we do. It's going to be something that has to be a point of emphasis for us.
And, you know, as Derek Carr said, when you make something an emphasis, when you make something a priority, generally things change. And I think it's high time for, you know, the players that are still here to heed that message. I think the Raiders did get, you know, Derek in that statement talked about, I don't know if it was in that particular clip, but what I had reread of what he had said after that game was, you know, some players, and then he kind of paused, if they're still here next year, it was like, yeah, the writing was obviously on the wall for some guys. Hello, Trent Brown. And the importance of, again, taking care of yourself, sacrificing a little bit, to be able to put yourself individually in a position of being able to sustain throughout the season and to be in the best possible physical condition come December, to be able to deliver for your team. And if each individual does that at a higher level, then collectively it's going to be a better situation as well. Again, there's a difference between just bad luck. When you know, rupture your Achilles tendon or, you know, blow out your knee, that's just, you know, break up a bone. Those are the unfortunate aspects of professional sports, football or otherwise. But there's other physical issues that are better mitigated when you're paying more attention to it. And that means getting better sleep. That means eating right. That means doing what you have to do from a recovery standpoint to get your body right, stretching, eating right, sleeping, all of these things. I'll tell you guys a funny story, an interesting story, about something as maybe innocuous as sleep and sleep patterns, right? So this is going to take a second, but this one's a good one. So Doc Rivers gets the job with the Clippers, right? And so they invite some of the media out to – we're going to go out to have lunch with Doc Rivers. And we're – this was like our first time that we were able to really get some quality time with Doc Rivers and talk to him. And it was – for the most part, it was off the record. It was just, you know, getting to know you. And so he tells this story about – because we asked him, we were saying, you know, hey – because he was saying to us, you know, like, what's – how can I help your job? And we're like, well, you know, access to players, you know, the time that you're, are we going to talk to players before practice? Are we going to talk to players after practice? You know, just like this, the little things that you deal with in professional sports. And so that conversation got us into a conversation of him talking about, you know, his practice times, his normal practice times. And typically speaking, a lot of teams in the NBA practice around 10 a.m. in the morning, whether they're – unless they have a day off, of course. But typical schedule, whether it's after a day off or after a game, they're practicing at 10 a.m. in the morning, okay? And then we get there and we watch part of the practice and we're in the media room. Then we talk to the guys after practice. So he's like, well, hey, just to let you guys know, I like to practice a little bit later on in the afternoon. And we're, oh, okay. And so why? Is there a philosophy behind that? And he's like, well, he goes, when I was coaching with the Boston Celtics, coaching in Boston, there was a professor at the University of Harvard who kept hitting me up about, hey, I want to get in to talk to you about sleep patterns and the importance of sleep in professional sports and how important it is that these guys get on a good sleep schedule. And even if it means pushing your practices up, you know, to 1 o'clock rather than 10 a.m. And Doc Rivers is like, oh, come on. You know, how important is that really? So he's telling us a story, you know, come on. You know, so I put him off. And so finally I said, all right, you know, I have a little bit of time. I'm going to give this guy a listen, right? So this professor comes in and visits with Doc Rivers. And he says to him, they meet twice. And he says to him, listen, I want you to ask your players, you can even do it anonymously, how much sleep do they – what time do they normally go to sleep after a game, all right? And he said, you know, just ask them and tell them to be completely honest with you. And it doesn't matter if it's because they're so wound up after a game that it takes them a while to get to sleep, or if they like to go party after a game and it takes them a little while before they show up in bed and get some sleep, or maybe they like to go get something to eat, grab dinner, a late dinner. Whatever the case might be, it doesn't matter. Just ask them what time they normally get to sleep, all your players, right? So he does that, you know, and he kind of gets a good idea and talks again to the doctor. And he's like, why is that so important? And so then the doctor started telling him about how you have to get 8 hours of sleep. And if you don't, it gets your body starts reacting to it in a progressive manner, so that if you go 5 straight days only getting 6 hours of sleep, or whatever the, however you want to add it up, there comes a point in time where if you stack a bunch of those days without 8 hours of sleep up, you're almost like legally drunk by 7 days later. You know, like you can, it affects you to that extent. Like you're that sluggish, right? And this is why the doctor was advocating start your practices later, because if these guys are falling asleep by average at 3 o'clock in the morning for whatever reason, maybe they're night owls, maybe they're hanging out, maybe they're partying, maybe they just can't, they're too, you know, tightly wound up. But don't have them practice at 10 a.m. after a night game if they're only getting an average of 5, 4, 6 hours of sleep. You know, push your practice back. So Doc still isn't necessarily buying this, right? And he says to the doctor, all right, here's our schedule for this coming up season. I want you to look at a game. And if I don't do anything about the sleep and still have, my practices at 10 a.m., I want you to point to a game where it's going to rear its ugly head, like where it's going to get – where this is really going to be a factor. And so the guy looks at the schedule, and he points right to a game against the Phoenix Suns away, you know, in Phoenix. – And so Doc's like, I mean, first of all, the Suns aren't that good. And everyone knew that. And he's like, you're going to lose this game right here if you don't do anything. So Doc's like, well, why? It's the Phoenix Suns. They're not that good. And the doctor says, well, look at your schedule, you know, leading up to that game. And there, you know, he was able to look at, break down the schedule leading up to that game. He goes, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to play a very good game in that game if you continue with having the early morning practices. So the doc was like, all right, whatever. And he wasn't buying it. He's like, thanks for talking to me, you know, but I'll be in touch. And he never got back in touch with the guy, all right? Fast forward to later on that season, the Celtics are playing the Phoenix Suns, all right? And it was a sloppy game to begin with. Doc gets kicked out of the game, right? So, and he's telling us a story. He goes, in Phoenix, when you get kicked out of a game, they put you in this little cubbyhole, right? A little office, you know, somewhere they have a TV in there, but that's about it. It's just you at a table watching a TV. That's where you have to stay when you get kicked out of the game in Phoenix. He goes, unfortunately, I couldn't change the channel. I'd rather have been watching golf than us getting plastered, right? And I'm watching, he goes, I'm watching this game, and I'm watching us just sleepwalk through this game. And he goes, there's a play, it's an inbounds play where Kevin Garnett throws a lazy pass to Paul Pierce coming out of a sideline play. Lazy pass, worse effort by Paul Pierce. Somebody picks it up from the Suns, goes the other direction, and just slam dunk. You know, they're down by like 18 points. He goes, I'm just sitting there. All of a sudden, I get a text. He goes, I look at my phone, and sure enough, it was the doctor from Harvard, and he said, I told you so. He goes, and from that point on, I figured out this guy might be onto something. So he completely changed his schedule, his practice schedule after games to give his players time to fall asleep. And it wasn't because they were night owls and liking to have fun. Some guys were, of course, that's going to be the case. But more than anything, guys are wound up, you know, and you're going to get a bite to eat, whatever the case might be. The fact is, you account for that and give your players enough time to get enough sleep. And so it was hilarious hearing Doc tell us. He goes, because my phone's ringing. I'm like, who the heck is, you know, and there's the doctor. I told you so. And he certainly did tell him so. But as for what Derek Carr is talking about in terms of being diligent about taking care of yourself so that you're in the best possible position to deliver physically and mentally. This is a mental drain and a physical drain, professional football seasons, any season is. And you have to be proactive as a professional athlete to deal with that. And the great ones understand that. And sometimes the great ones, there's no learning curve for that. But you can't expect all young players to get it right away. And they have to understand it and learn from it and make the necessary changes so that, again, they're in a good position physically and mentally to get through a season strong so that what happened the last year and the year before that doesn't happen. There's no guarantees in anything, but it sure helps when people do what they need to do and stay on top of everything they need to stay on top of, so that collectively a team can get to December at 6-3 or whatever, 6-4, and be able to finish the thing out rather than collapsing. Some of that is hard, bad luck, but some of it's talent, but a lot of it is guys being diligent. It's time for the Raiders to be diligent. I think that was the message that Derek Carr was sending last year after the Raiders beat the Denver Broncos and they started peeking ahead to this year. And hey, what do you guys need to do so that this doesn't happen again? Well, I think Derek Carr explained it pretty deeply on where that starts. And that starts with a mindset. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor.
It's Thursday, actually, Friday, for our purposes, because no show on Friday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. So we will reconvene on Monday to talk more about the Raiders and the offseason and this depth chart. By the way, I haven't gotten the text yet or the email yet about the undrafted free agents officially signing, but I did a story on the 10 player UDFA class that the Raiders put together. And don't sleep on that. You know, last year was kind of a weird year because, you know, with COVID-19 and nobody getting into the building at all, really difficult for guys to kind of make their mark. Although Javon White from UNLV was able to stick as an undrafted free agent. But you go back to 2019, our good friend Alec Ingold made the team as an undrafted free agent. A.J. Cole, the punter, made the team as an undrafted free agent. Andre James, who's going to be the Raiders' starting center, he made the team as an undrafted free agent and then spent the last couple of years in the lab, the Tom Cable offensive line lab, and now he's going to be the starting center for the Raiders. Keshawn Nixon made the team as an undrafted free agent in 2019. He's played 29 games for the Raiders over the last 2 years. So don't sleep on the undrafted free agents. There's some players that are going to make this team. And, you know, looking at who they brought in, Darius Stills, defensive tackle from the West Virginia University, I think has a good shot to make this team one way or another, whether it's on the practice squad or the regular 53-man roster. And when you look at the Raiders' defensive line and the line population, it gets really thin after 2021. I think there's only four players on that defensive line that signed after this season. So you better start coming up with some depth development players right now to be in place to make an impact or you know have a bigger role after 2021, because all those guys, the guys that they're losing or the guys that whose contracts run out, and we're talking about the Solomon Thomases and the Quentin Jeffersons, Matt Dickerson, Darius Filon, these guys are on one-year deals. Not all of them are going to come back. Sometimes, you know, they're going to be good players that leave for better deals, or maybe they just didn't pan out. Whatever the case might be, it behooves the Raiders to start developing some young players. And I think Darius Stills from West Virginia has a chance to be that kind of a player. He was very, very productive in college. Junior was a little bit better than the senior year. He's not the biggest guy, 6'2", 285 pounds. So that's not, one of your bigger interior defensive linemen, but there's production there and there's talent there. So it might be a case again where, you know, he's going to be on the practice squad or kind of taking a red shirt season, but he's got a chance based on talent to make this team. Looking also at DeVry Hamilton, 6'9". 310 pounds, offensive tackle, last played at Duke, but had played at Stanford the previous three seasons. 6'9", 310 pounds. That's something to work with at the very least. So he's going to get a shot to be on that development track. And you look at the offensive line, much like the defensive line, there's a bunch of guys that are on, you know, that won't be back after 2021 or whose contracts run out after 2021. And Brandon Parker fits that bill. Jared Jones-Smith fits that bill. Both of those are offensive tackles that are currently on the roster. But, you know, both of those are unknown players, right? And so don't know if Brandon Parker is even going to make the team, let alone play well enough to earn himself another chance for 2022. He's been given opportunities, hasn't been able to seize them. I know that Mike Mayock talked glowingly about Jared Jones-Smith and interested to see what he's all about. Didn't get a chance really to see him much last year, obviously, but in training camp, we'll be able to get a better look at him this year and see if he's going to be part of the future. Mike Mayock certainly thinks that he's got a future. But the point is, Jared and Brandon are both here for one more year at the very least, but that's no guarantee that they're going to be here beyond that. So a guy like DeVry has a chance to maybe get into the Andre James lab, just like Andre James did, and come out a couple of years down the road as a potential starter. You can't rule it out. That's what I'm saying. There's just too much history of guys that have been able to take advantage of their opportunity. And I've been harping on this about OTAs and rookie mini camps and all that, and how the union is short-sightedly and I actually think selfishly telling younger players not to take advantage of those opportunities this year. Don't participate in mini camps. Don't participate in OTAs. We'll ask Alex Ingold, what he thinks about that, looking back at his own career. I mean, he's flat out told me, if I didn't have OTAs and rookie mini camp, I don't know if I'd be here right now. Who knows? It was my chance to really shine, to take advantage of reps, to show at lunch, in the locker room, in the weight room, what I was all about. Like, there's lasting impressions that are made in those situations, and you take advantage of them, and you're opening eyes. And that's what he said. Everybody's watching you, and you understand that, and you have a chance to make a good impression and set yourself up for training camp and then take advantage of that. If he didn't have that for himself, he might not have even gotten to training camp. Who knows? So it's really short-sighted by the Players Association. I wish they would reassess that stance, especially when it comes to the younger player. Hey, just want to say thanks to everybody for taking part this week. Obviously, again, tomorrow we're off, but we'll be back at it Monday, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Damon, happy birthday. Have fun in Tennessee. We'll check all of you guys out. Thanks to all the guests. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks for everybody that listens. You're why we do this. Thanks for all the great feedback that you're giving us, too, by the way. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.